In the morning when I rise, give me Jesus. Our text today is John 6, 22 through 40. And how fitting is it that on Memorial Day, the day where Americans all over the country are remembering the fallen soldiers who have died for our freedom, how fitting is it that we as Christians take this opportunity not just to remember and honor those who have died preserving our freedoms, but mostly, chief of all, we remember the one who died to free us from the bondage of sin. Scripture teaches that we are slave to one of two masters. No one is free in every sense of the word. You're either a slave of sin or you're a slave of Christ. So today we're going to read about Jesus and what Jesus himself says about himself. And I think that we can agree here. I think that we can all see that Jesus is all we need in the morning when we rise. That is the lyric of a popular song, but it comes from Scripture. It is saturated with Scripture. And let's read the Scripture here to see why in the morning when we rise, we can depend on Jesus or we want Jesus. The mark of a Christian is to need Jesus and to want Jesus. So, verse 22 says this: On the next day, the crowd that remained on the other side of the sea saw that there had been only one boat there, and that Jesus had not entered the boat with his disciples, but that his disciples had gone away alone. Other boats from Tiberias came near the place where they had eaten the bread after the Lord had given thanks. So when the crowd saw that Jesus was not there, nor his disciples, they themselves got under the boats and went into Capernaum, seeking Jesus. When they found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, "Rabbi, when did you come here?" Jesus answered them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, you are seeking me not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves. Do not work for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give to you. For on him God the Father has set his seal." Then they said to him, "What must we do to be doing the works of God?" Jesus answered them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in him who he has sent." So they said to him, "Then what sign do you do that we may see and believe you? What work do you perform?" "Our fathers ate the manna in the wilderness, as it is written, 'He gave them bread from heaven to eat.'" Jesus then said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, it was not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven, but my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." They said to him, "Sir, give us this bread always." Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. But I said to you that you have seen me and yet do not believe. All that the Father gives to me will come to me, and whoever comes to me, I will never cast out. For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I should lose nothing of all that he has given me, but raise it up on the last day. For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who looks on the Son and believes in him should have eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day." So, there's a lot to discuss in this little section, but the idea here is that Jesus is the bread of life. What could this mean besides the most natural interpretation of it? Is that Jesus is that thing that we need. It's a necessity. He is a necessity. Just as our daily bread is what we need on a daily basis, it's our food, it sustains us, it is sufficient for us, it's a necessity, Jesus is claiming to be vital to a person's life. Jesus is claiming to be the one that nourishes, the one that provides energy, the one that provides sustenance, the one that you spend your life, if you if you know how life normally works, you normally work to get money to provide for yourself food. Well, Jesus is claiming not to work for the things that, not to work for earthly or literal food, at least not primarily. Don't work for the food that perishes, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. So, of course, here, the people listening to Jesus don't exactly understand what Jesus is saying here. They talk about, well, you, Jesus, we haven't seen a miracle you've done, even though he literally just walked on water a section before this. So, they say, okay, well, what have you done? Have you provided manna for us like God did in the wilderness? Jesus is claiming that what he did, what he is so much better than the manna, the bread that was provided to the Israelites in the wilderness. And even again, Jesus is claiming that he himself is the bread of life, even more necessary than the 5,000 or the 4,000 that were fed by Jesus' own hand. Remember the story where Jesus divides the loaves and the fishes. So, Jesus says to these people, the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. Just like the manna fell from heaven in the to feed the Israelites, so did Jesus come down from heaven to feed those who would believe in him. Just like there was enough bread to satisfy the people who came to listen to Jesus, Jesus is sufficient to satisfy those who come to him in repentance and faith. Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall not thirst, shall never thirst. But I said to you, you have seen me, and yet do not believe. All that the Father gives to me will come to me, and whoever comes to me, I will never cast out. Think of it this way. If Jesus is speaking the truth here, if Jesus is speaking the truth here, and we know Jesus is because God cannot lie, Jesus is claiming that, one, whoever comes to him will never spiritually hunger, will never hunger in the sense of needing another to satisfy their need. In the morning when I rise, give me Jesus. He is the one we look to. He is the provider of all our needs. He's the one that we go to for comfort, for guidance, for nourishment, and all these things. We ask God to give us this day our daily bread, which has a twofold meaning. On one hand, it means the bread that comes from God. Jesus, a communication with him, reading his word. But also, it has in the idea a temporal sense, meaning what we temporarily need, meaning what we physically, practically need. Jesus here is speaking about how those other signs, the Jews having bread in the wilderness and the dividing of the bread amongst the people, these were just signs to point towards Jesus, who is the bread of life itself. He's using a lesser reality, a physical reality, to point to himself, a spiritual reality. Now, let me pause here. Jesus physically walked on the planet. Jesus physically walked on the planet and said these things. He wasn't just some made-up spiritual story. But what Jesus is trying to impart here, using the metaphor of bread, is a spiritual reality that you need Jesus spiritually. You need Jesus spiritually. All that the Father gives to me will come to me, and whoever comes to me, I will never cast out. This is the other promise that Jesus gives us. Whoever comes to me, I'll never cast out. At the very least, implies to us that if you've come to Jesus in repentance and faith, you can never be unsaved. You can't be. To say so would be to say that when Jesus said that you would never hunger again after eating the bread of life, that he was really lying, that you would hunger again and need him to be served to you yet again. What you need every morning when we say, "Give me Jesus, give me Jesus," we renew our devotion to him. Not that we lost it, but to remind ourselves of our commitment to Christ, because he is the one that sustains us. Once you have been given this daily bread, it is sufficient for you, and you never hunger. You never go after another one. You never need to go after another one, because Jesus is the one that sustains you. He is perfect in of himself. There's no need to trust in Jesus and then go trust in works, or trust in Jesus and then go trust in Buddha or any of these other idols that the world follows after. There's no need to. And in fact, Jesus is exclusive. Jesus in John 14:6 says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me." So Jesus is very clear here. Not only is he the bread of life, not only is he the one that satisfies, no other one will. No other food, in a spiritual sense, again speaking, will satisfy you. Is it any wonder that so many people run to drugs and promiscuous acts and all different kinds of identities to identify themselves by, in an effort to do what? To satisfy their own longing, the pressure and the guilt they feel under sin. How many people run inward into their sin to try to be relieved from the guilt of it? I would argue a lot of people do. It's human nature. When we sin, we feel guilt, and then most of us don't know what to do with it. And then we run even further into it, seeking to hide the pain. You sin, you fall into some gross sin, and then you go and get drunk to numb the pain. But eventually, what happens is you need more and more to numb that pain. Use one sin to try to numb the pain of the other, creating more iniquity. But Jesus promises here that if you would depend on him, he would satisfy you. He himself will satisfy what you need, what you're longing for. He will remove that guilt. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I should lose nothing of all that he has given me, but raise it up on the last day. For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who looks on the Son and believes in him should have eternal life, and I will raise him on the last day. If you remember back to the story in the Old Testament of Moses and the Israelites, you know that the Israelites had a lot of problems. Most of the time they were complaining about something or another. Well, one instance of God's judgment on the Israelites for distrusting him, even though they had no reason to do so, God sent snakes, and snakes bit a number of the Israelites. They were venomous snakes, and a number of the Israelites were dying. Moses was instructed to put a serpent on his staff, and then raise it up. And he gave this promise. God gave this promise that whoever looked at the serpent on the staff would be healed. Whoever would just look towards him would be healed. This is obviously a type and shadow of what happens with Christ. If you look toward Christ on that cross, again, in a spiritual sense, turning from your sins and trusting in Jesus, those who just look towards his direction will be saved. And those who believe in him, Jesus promises that he'll raise him up on the last day. Jesus, again, later on in verse 47 says this, "Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness, and they died. This is the bread that comes down from heaven, so that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I give for the life of the world is my flesh." Jesus is predicting how he will give his own body up. He'll give his own life up to be broken for our benefit. So then, in verse 52, the Jews then disputed among themselves, saying, "How can this man give us his flesh to eat?" So Jesus said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life within you. Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. For my flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink. Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him. As the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, whoever feeds on me, he will also live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven, and it's not like the bread the fathers ate and died. Whoever feeds on this bread will live forever." Jesus said these things in the synagogue as he taught at Capernaum. So Jesus is very clear here. Jesus is not teaching cannibalism, by the way. That is not anywhere in Scripture. That is not what he is speaking of. This cannot be intended literally. But Jesus is using something that is a physical reality. Again, he's using a physical reality and physical imagery to communicate a spiritual concept. And this is the concept. If you do not eat, you will die. We all know that. If you don't eat, you'll die of starvation. If you don't drink, you will die of thirst. Jesus is saying that if you feed on him, it's a metaphor for turning to him and trusting in him, receiving his blood payment for your sin. Jesus is saying here that if you would do that, if you would trust in him, just trust in him and repent of your sin, that you spiritually will never die. You will have eternal life because his food, the food that comes from him, what he is, will never truly perish. Never truly perishes. When you eat something, let's say you eat bread, well, eventually that bread is going to wear out. It's going to rot. It's not going to be any good anymore. Even if you eat the bread while it's fresh and it's good for eating, eventually you're going to need more. Jesus promises that he himself is the bread that satisfies, meets our need, and he is the bread that nourishes. Again, he is the bread of life, but I want you to see something else. If you go back to where Jesus said, and there are several I am statements of Jesus here. Jesus says, "I am the bread of life." He is the Son of God. He's the Son of God. True, he is. And he's also God incarnate. He's God in flesh. The only one who can make this comment that he is the bread of life and that he will raise up someone personally on the last day is if he himself is God. Wait a minute. So how do we get that Jesus is God from this statement? From the statement that I am the bread of life. How do we get that from this? Well, you have to understand something of the Old Testament. In Exodus 3:14, God appears to Moses in a burning bush. God calls himself the I am that I am, or that I am which I am, or that I am what I am. Essentially, the Jews break this down into what's called the Tetragrammaton, which is Yahweh. It's Yahweh. The Jews would also, in a way to not profane the holy name of God, because they were so holy and so they had so much godly fear as to not profane his name, they wouldn't even speak it. But what they would do is they would refer to him in other terms, in nicknames and things of that nature. So what they might have called him, what they did call him in another sense, is the great I am, as a reference to Moses in the burning bush. Moses and the burning bush. God appeared to Moses, calls himself the I am that I am. The Jews refer to God as the I am, or the great I am. And Jesus, knowing this, calls himself the I am. The Greek term here is ego eimi. The Greek term here is ego eimi. Does he know what he's saying? Well, of course he does. Of course he does. Why? Because a number of times when Jesus says, I am, before Abraham was, I am, the Jews tore their clothes and said that he is blaspheming. And then when Jesus says, well, how am I blaspheming? The Jews says, because you being a man make yourself out to be God. So you have a choice here. Is Jesus God or is he not? If Jesus is not God, then he can't really make this claim to be the bread of life. He can't. He cannot ultimately be the one that satisfies, because man was made for God. Man was made to depend on God, to gain his sustenance from God, to depend wholly on God. And then how else, if Jesus is not God, can he make the promise that he will raise those who believe in him up on the last day, that he himself can forgive sins, which only God can do. Only God can forgive sins. Jesus claims the authority for himself. And then a number of times again, he calls himself the I am. And if he weren't God, if he were not truly God, then that would be a blasphemous claim. But because he is God, that's not blasphemy. Jesus is going to give his flesh and a death on the cross. Jesus is not talking about a literal physical bread, but a spiritual, a living bread. That when you consume it, by repenting of your sin and trusting in Jesus, you become alive, because now, rather than starving spiritually, you are now well fed. You become well fed. So here's my question for you. When you finally rise up in the morning and request Jesus for your food, request Jesus for your daily bread, you're going to find that you need nothing else. You're going to find that not only that, if you have consumed him, he will never let you go either. It is a commitment. It is a commitment that you both make. And Jesus is too good to falter. Jesus is too good to deny himself. He's too good to deny his promises. So here's my question for you. What would it take for you to stop eating the food of the world? Stop eating for the food that does not satisfy. That leaves you only wanting more. That leaves you only wanting more in a bad way. Leaves you only wanting more the more you eat of it. The more you eat of it, the more starved you become. That is the food of the world. Ever eaten food that you may like and enjoy, but really it's malnourishing to you? It's not giving you what you really need, no matter how much you may like it? That's the food of the world, the spiritual food of the world. All the partying and entertainment, all the sinful pleasures that you enjoy is giving you this sugary substance that has no sustenance behind it. Jesus, however, offers himself to you to be fed upon so that you would no longer be starving. And if you are not in Christ, you are starving. You're dying of starvation. You're dying of thirst. Your soul is disquieted within you. It is grieving and it is moaning. Even though you may dull the pain for a while with the pleasures of this world, the foods of this world, ultimately, it won't satisfy. Jesus sustains not only physical life, but he sustains spiritual life as well. If you consume him, the bread of life, you will never die. You can never die. And Jesus will never cast you out. But it comes to a point where you have to give up your pride. It comes to a point where you have to give up that sweet tooth that maybe you're holding on to, that you want to go after the world's sugary and addictive foods. Jesus is what we need. Jesus is what you need. His flesh is true food and his blood is true drink. I want to close with this. In the morning when I rise, give me Jesus. The Christian should understand something. That in the morning when you rise, your true bread is Christ. And how do you learn more about Christ? You learn more about him through his word. And yes, people falter. It's easy to falter on reading your Bible. It is. But when you ask God to reveal, to give you Jesus when you rise in the morning, can let him consume your thought. Let him consume your thought and everything you want to do and imitate and follow. Read God's word to understand more about Jesus. Read God's word to be reminded of this bread that you have been given so graciously. Do not work for the food that perishes, so do not be concerned about it. Because God will give you what you need. But for the food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give to you. God tells us to work for the food that endures to eternal life. The work that you need to do is to believe in Christ. That's it. Believe in Christ. Repent of your sins, trust in Christ. I'm going to leave you with this thought. What will it take for you to feed upon the bread of life? And what are you losing by refusing to feed on him? What you're losing is life itself. You're losing life itself by refusing the one that sustains life. Because eventually, if you eat nothing but candy, you're going to die because of malnourishment. No matter how good it makes you feel in the moment, eventually you'll get sick. The unsaved, in some regard, are like people that don't understand, that not everything that tastes good immediately is ultimately good for you. However, when you get saved, you have eaten the bread of life that satisfies, that meets our needs, and that nourishes us completely and keeps us in Christ. You realize that Christ himself will keep you, that you're in no danger of falling away. You're in no real danger of falling away if you've truly believed. That should take away all the apprehension, the fear that we might have from coming to Christ. And then again, he says, all that the Father gives to me will come to me, and whoever comes to me, I will never cast out. That should also remove some fear. That the fear that, well, I may come to Jesus, but he won't serve me. He won't give me the food I need. He won't feed me what I need. He won't nourish me. That he will reject me. Well, that's not true. The devil has implanted a lie in you, in your mind, to prevent you from coming to Christ. If you believe that about Christ, that he would reject someone who comes to him earnestly, then you don't truly know how kind of a Savior he is. Jesus offers himself on that cross. He's just like Moses raised the serpent in the wilderness for those sick Israelites to look at. He offers himself to you, the sick and dying person, poisoned by the disease of sin, to look to him. He offers himself as the bread of life to those who are starving, for you to come and eat. Believe that he is who he says he is, and come and eat. I want to leave you with this, that Jesus said, I am the bread of life. He is God. And he offers you not only sustenance to sustain you, but he promises to keep you in his hand.